just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. I thank Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Remember, for easy online ordering, if you, like me, live in the greater Tampa Bay area, visit originalhooters.com, originalhooters.com. Thanks also to Bill Curry Ford. They write the checks to the two winners of the respective podcast leagues, the NFL, the National Fantasy League, and the AFL, the American Fantasy League, as they wrote the check to the podcast league last year, won by Robert Wright. And let me get two things out of the way right now. Even Bill Curry Ford made this mistake a few weeks ago. Robert Wright, terrific guy, wonderful wife. They just welcomed baby Benjamin to the world. And according to a woman in my life, who knows a lot more about babies than me, since I never had any, she said three things about little Benjamin. One, full head of hair. Two, Kirk Douglas chin. Three, nice round head. I guess all those things are meaningful. I don't really know any different, but I pass those on, and Rob and Mrs. Wright, as I like to call her, were very appreciative of the review of new baby Benjamin. Rob is not my son. So Benjamin is not my grandson. I guess it was maybe Bengal Ralph and some others, or I have joked on the podcast in the past about my son, Robert Wright. No. No relation. The honest part that I say often on my podcast is, you know, I was raised by grandparents as my legal guardians. I lost grandma in 2004. I lost grandpa in 2008, and I miss him every day. I have no living family. So it's friends like Robert Wright. It's friends like Bengal Ralph. But no, Rob Wright is not my son, or I am not the father of Robert Wright, two-time podcast league winner, and also loyal Todd Wright Tour golfer. Okay, now that that's out there, and I have also acknowledged and congratulated them on the birth of baby Benjamin, let's move forward. Oh, I visited Bill Curry Ford the other day. They were giving away free tacos for lunch on Wednesday. I don't know. That's just how Grace did it. And Grace is the brains of the operation for Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford. I'm a big fan of Grace and Sean, and yeah, it was Taco Wednesday this week at Bill Curry Ford on Northdale Mabry. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford for writing the $1,000 checks to the winner of both of my podcast leagues. Email for podcast listeners only. If you need a second opinion on something as it relates to your lineup, your bench, a trade, a drop, a waiver claim, or you just want to tell me a good story about something in your fantasy league, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. All right, I'm recording this on Thursday. You won't hear this until at least Friday. So I will not discuss what I'm looking for fantasy-wise in the Thursday night game between the Rams and the Seahawks because I'm not a soothsayer. I don't have the sports almanac from the Back to the Future movies. Some have said that I did. And then I've joked, I used to have it, and then I gave it to Gil Alexander at VSIN, the Vegas Sports, Vegas Stats and Information Network. Thanks, Gil, for always having me on to talk fantasy football or golf or the hockey playoffs. VSIN.com to check that out. Okay, so let's jump ahead to Sunday's action. I'm looking at numbers from the Westgate Superbook in Las Vegas, my longtime friend Jay Cornegay. I'm a big fan. Look forward to seeing him soon. All right, Jets at Atlanta. There's been modest money on the Jets that have brought this number down from 4 to 3. The total has gone up from 44 to 46. There's one name of significance here, and that's Cordarrelle Patterson. In Yahoo leagues where you can play Patterson as both a wide receiver or a running back, Patterson started in 23% of leagues in week 3. Last week, it went up to 31%, and I was one of the 31%. He scored 3 touchdowns. He was RB1. Only Tyreek Hill also scored 3 touchdowns last week from the running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. This week, as of the time of this recording, so this is only going to go up, Patterson is starting in 67% of Yahoo leagues because, if you just go based on RB numbers, only Derrick Henry and Austin Eckler in my 21st century modernized scoring settings have outscored Cordarrelle Patterson in fantasy the first month of the season. It's kind of amazing. I'd say he was drafted with a dart throw in the last 5 rounds in maybe 10% of fantasy drafts. I don't know if it's sustainable, but I do know in the open field and in space, he's really tough to tackle. Dolphins, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay opened at 9.5. It's gone up to 10. The total has come down from 49.5 to 48. For more information on this game and fantasy implications, find the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition. I talk about this game. Eagles, Carolina. This one is really about 3 players. For the Eagles, it's Jalen Hurts. Hurts is overall number 3, tied with Derrick Henry in my scoring settings, behind only Mahomes and Kyler Murray. The Eagles may not be good, but Hurts, the first month, has been an outstanding fantasy quarterback. And then on the other side is Sam Darnold, who I don't imagine was drafted in fantasy leagues, and Darnold is worthy of consideration if he's on waivers or on your bench for you to put him in your lineup. Darnold is QB5 in my scoring settings through 4 weeks. He was QB2 last week, 2 more rushing touchdowns against the Dallas Cowboys. Christian McCaffrey stays out. Darnold is the one running the ball in, not Chuba Hubbard, not anyone else. And he's got a great thing going with DJ Moore, who is wide receiver 4 through 4 weeks. Those are your players in this game. Everyone else, eh. If you're still starting or flexing Devontae Smith, yeah, I get it. But you'd like to see some of that Jalen Hurts production rub off more on Devontae Smith. Saints and Redskins. Kamara does get his heavy touch count. You're obviously starting him. Nothing else on the Saints is worth talking about. From a Washington standpoint, let's see. This game was a pick. Now New Orleans by 2. Total 44. Washington, you're just playing the hits of Terry McScorin, who was wide receiver 3 last week, and he's wide receiver 7 on the season. And Antonio Gibson, you're hoping he doesn't lose too many more snaps to J.D. McKissick, but Gibson is still worthy of an RB2 or flex spot. Titans at Jaguars. I find it interesting that the money is on Jacksonville here. Tennessee was a 7.5-point favorite with a total of 52. I see it down to 4.5 at the Westgate Superbook with a total of 48.5. Interesting. My instinct with what's going on for Urban Meyer this week is that, and Tennessee is not playing great football, this is a spot, where I could see Tennessee being very motivated and Jacksonville's players to, dare I say, expose Urban Meyer as a coach they don't want to play for. That's just me. The money in Vegas says otherwise. That maybe Meyer is coaching for his life, but I don't think he wants this job. I know this is probably something I should do on the Todd Wright Toddcast, but I think Meyer wants out of this job with as much money as he can get. And if he gets out now, he'll have roughly 2 months to go out of the public eye before USC names him as their head coach and he addresses what happened in Jacksonville one last time and is done with it and says everything's fine. That's just the type of scumbag he is. And it wouldn't say a lot for USC that they'd hire him, but I think they would. You play Derrick Henry in this game, and I really don't see anyone else to play until A.J. Brown or Julio Jones are healthy. Check status. Lions and Vikings. T.J. Hockenson has really fallen off in terms of his production at the tight end position for the Lions. DeAndre Swift, some good games. He still is in a timeshare. They say they'll go with the hot hand, but I think Swift is worth starting. For Minnesota, they continue to play fantasy football. They opened at 8. They're up to 9.5. The total is 49. Jefferson is wide receiver 8 the first month, and he feels like he's off to a slow start, but the volume is there. Thielen's still getting his looks. KJ Osborne's still out there for a ton of snaps. They're developing the tight end. Cook, keep checking status on Cook. Cook says he'll be good to go Sunday. We'll see. For the game he wasn't, Madison played well. Kirk Cousins not in the top 10 of quarterbacks through the first month, but he's not a bad fantasy quarterback right now. He's not bad. You could do better, especially when you consider undrafted guys like Darnold, Jones, and maybe even Heinicke can produce more numbers on a weekly basis because they use their legs. Broncos, Pittsburgh. I really don't like much here with the Broncos. They have a quarterback injury question now. They opened at -2, total of 41.5. Now Pittsburgh is favored -1, total 39.5. What an awful game. From the Pittsburgh standpoint, Najee Harris was a top 11 running back last week. That's purely on volume. Juju is not someone you're starting. The Pittsburgh wideouts have been a disappointment, and all the fingers are pointing at Big Ben, and is he too old to play? That's about all I got for them. Green Bay, Cincinnati. Green Bay opened as a 3-point favorite. Stays 3-point favorite. The total has gone up from 48 to 51.5. Get something on this. With Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, you're playing the hits with the Packers in this game. From the Bengals standpoint, Burrow's been okay. Not a great fantasy quarterback. Ja'Marr Chase, not sure if this is sustainable, but he's the one doing the scoring in Cincinnati. And Joe Mixon's had a good start. Joe Mixon is RB10 in my scoring settings through the first month. Chase is wide receiver. Is that 6? So that's what stands out to me. New England, Houston. New England, -7.5, went up to 9. Total has gone down to 39. Fantasy worthiness on the Patriots just doesn't seem much unless you're counting on Harris to get volume as a running back. Nothing on Houston excites me other than their plan to tank the season. They're planning to tank the season, yet they've beaten the Jaguars, and they'll get one more shot at them later in the year. The Texans have the worst performing quarterback in years under center. Bears at Raiders. Money coming in on the Bears has moved this from Raiders -7 down to -5.5. Total has gone down from 45 to 44 at the Westgate Superbook. Maybe you sit Allen Robinson until further notice. We're in October. You start getting more aggressive with your lineups. I've always said Allen Robinson is the receiver who makes the most of bad quarterbacks. He hasn't been doing that through the first month. Justin Fields had a better game. I just think the Bears need to cut the cord here on their head coach and maybe their GM. Just do it. It seems like it would just be a fresh start for the whole organization. They've already announced Fields is going to be the starter going forward. Trade Andy Dalton to someone who might need a valuable backup quarterback who's a playoff contender. Get something for him if you can. I don't know if you can. For the Raiders, they continue to be maddening in terms of, I don't mean that from the video game standpoint, just figuring out if there's any consistent fantasy production. And of course, Derek Carr goes out of his way to say he doesn't care about your fantasy team. Derek, I know it's all about winning for you, but considering how many people play fantasy football, you might want to worry about the PR there. Maybe change your answer to, I'm just trying to put up as the best numbers I can for everybody who's watching Raider football. That would be a better answer. Waller did get in the end zone last week. Renfro got in the end zone last week. It looks like Carr likes Ruggs on big explosive plays, kind of like Lamar Jackson likes Marquise Brown, big downfield explosive plays. Renfro may be worth rostering, should be available in a majority of leagues. Waller in mandatory tight end leagues is still someone you're starting, and it paid off last week for double digits. Browns at Chargers, one of the better games of the upcoming week. Total has gone down from 50.5 to 57. Chargers went from a pick to minus two. I just wonder if Austin Eckler can stay healthy. He's RB2 through the first month of the season. He had a big night on Monday night against the Raiders. I'm skeptical he can stay healthy. He's in a great spot. No opposing defensive coordinators really care that much about Eckler because Herbert is so dangerous. Mike Williams dropped off last week. Williams was wide receiver 6 through the first month. Keep an eye on that. That might have been might still be a good sell high candidate. From the Brown standpoint, it's all about Hunt and Chubb, as I've said all along. Through the first month, I have Hunt RB6, Chubb RB7. Giants and Cowboys. Saquon Barkley is popping up there. So for those of you that felt you took a risk by taking Barkley early in your fantasy draft. He's RB11 in my scoring settings through the first month. He was RB3 last week. Granted, Daniel Jones doesn't have a lot of healthy bodies to throw to at the wide receiver position, but even Jones, QB6 through the first month. A lot because of his legs, just like Darnold. Cowboys, Dalton Schultz. If you're in a tight end mandatory league and Dalton Schultz is available, he's very worthy. He gets in open space. They look for him on scoring plays. Some say this is because Gallup is out. I'm not so sure. Dak Prescott, not in the top 10 for the first month, as Dallas does more with Ezekiel Elliott, who, of course, is RB4 through the first month and was RB6 last week. But you're playing Prescott, you're playing Zeke. You can get away with playing Pollard. It's not a great play, but he's involved, and he's explosive. Dallas just has a lot of different people right now, and Elliott and Prescott are the ones who each week should put up points. And then when it comes to Lamb and Cooper and Schultz and Pollard, you're just hoping to click double digits each week. And then maybe every third or fourth week, you get a big, like 20 to 30 point game. Niners and Cardinals. Trey Sermon continues to make the most of the reps at running back. I didn't watch last week's game, but the numbers look decent. I'm not starting him, but I still own Sermon and Eli Mitchell. Keeps checking status on Eli Mitchell. Some are already saying, well, maybe all that talk about him around week 1 wasn't worthwhile. I still think when he's healthy, Shanahan's going to feed him the ball. That Sermon hasn't done anything yet to prevent Eli Mitchell from getting significant snaps. Deebo Samuel, where Ayuk has failed, Deebo has succeeded. I've always liked Deebo. So he's kind of an Austin Eckler at wide receiver. If he can stay healthy, he makes productive plays. He's a good fantasy player. He's wide receiver 3 in my scoring settings behind Cooper Kupp and Tyreek Hill the first month of the season, and that's really on the strength of like two and a half games. Arizona, a lot in play here. Kyler Murray is QB2 and overall 2. James Conner was actually a top 8 running back last week. You worry about DeAndre Hopkins and the rib injury and just how Kyler Murray isn't force-feeding him the ball, and there doesn't seem to be any urgency from Cliff Kingsbury saying we've got to get Hopkins more involved because Arizona's undefeated. It's one of those, I think, where if you need to plug and play a wide receiver or a flex or a running back, Arizona's your team because they got so many guys involved in this offense. Some may be on waivers right now, like Rondale Moore, Max Williams, James Conner, Christian Kirk, A.J. Green. That hurts DeAndre Hopkins right now. Bills, Chiefs, that's a Sunday night game. That's a good one. Money on the Bills. Chiefs have gone from 4 to 2.5. Total is huge, 56.5. Emmanuel Sanders didn't have much of an encore off the big week 3. Stephon Diggs still isn't giving you what you invested in him. Josh Allen, I show as QB7. By the end of the year, Josh Allen will be a top 4, top 5 quarterback, barring injury. From the Chiefs standpoint, Tyreek Hill broke out. Just 2 good games, but they were enormous. So he's wide receiver 2 on the season. He was wide receiver 1 last week. You're still playing Hill, Kelce, and Mahomes. Is not only the number 1 quarterback in fantasy football, but he's number 1 overall. And some of you are like, really? Because you're disappointed in his production because you drafted him in the first round. He's doing everything that you drafted him to do. Your expectations are a little unreasonable. And he's very motivated because they lost the Super Bowl last year and they got off to a 1-2 start. You're in a great spot with him. Finally, oh, and it's Knox, the tight end for Buffalo. Kind of a Dalton Schultz. If you're in a tight end mandatory league, which is outdated, and your tight end is not producing, and Knox or Schultz are on waivers, you might want to consider making a move to one of them. Finally, the Monday night game, Colts-Baltimore. Michael Pittman, I just acquired him this week in a 4-player deal in the Foundation League. Carson Wentz seems to like throwing him the ball. There isn't a lot going on, although Jonathan Taylor was RB, what, 9 last week? 9? And I know you're still playing him every week, and I get that. But Michael Pittman is someone that I acquired this week just because it seems like Wentz and Frank Reich like calling his number. Let's see if it means anything a little down the road here. Ravens, Lamar Jackson is QB10. I don't know if I'm going to keep him in the starting lineup because I have Sam Darnold. Lamar only has 2 rushing touchdowns, both in the same game. He's been banged up. He's had some balls dropped by Marquise Brown, namely in the Lions game. I still love Lamar Jackson, but I'm considering making the switch to Darnold. Ravens are committed to Lamar Murray running the football. Murray was, hold on. Nope, that's not him. That's Kyler Murray, who was QB10 last week, not Lamar Murray. But Murray is getting, Tyson Williams was even inactive last week. I'm not giving up on Tyson Williams. At some point, they're going to have to use him again. But Murray is clearly getting the reps there. So if you're just looking for a running back on waivers, if Murray happens to be there, who you know is going to touch the ball 12 times a game, Murray's your guy. And Marquise Brown, he's the Clifford Franklin this year. When he catches the ball, big things are happening. Only pass catcher of significance, those of you in mandatory tight end leagues are wondering when Andrews is going to get some of the scoring. Todd Wright, fantasyfootball@gmail.com. Todd Wright, fantasyfootball@gmail.com. Email me about your lineup, your bench, your trade offers, your claims, your drops. Be happy to answer them. Todd Wright, fantasyfootball@gmail.com. Good luck this weekend. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters.